name is Tito Klaichi. I'm a member of the Select Committee, and I'm representing the Northwest Province in the National Council of Province.
Thank you very much. you know, Honourable Member, our primary mandate is to contribute towards the eradication of poverty, and this is possible by granting funds to civil society organizations for the purpose of carrying out projects or programs aimed at meeting development needs of poor communities. And also, in terms of the granted funds, to strengthen the institutional capacity of other civil society organizations involved in directing provision to poor communities. So as you can see that also as part of the mandate is quite a critical aspect in terms of capacity building to enable the civil society organizations to undertake development work within higher capacity. But also we have what is called the secondary mandate, which is to promote consultation, dialogue, and sharing of development experience within civil society organizations and relevant organs of the state. And then what is important in terms of this secondary mandate is the fact that if indeed our mandate, our primary mandate, is in terms of contributing towards poverty and eradication, it's important that we consult, we dialogue, we discuss with the poor themselves, with the civil society organizations, so that we can get an understanding in terms of what are the issues that we need to address on the ground. So we regard this as very important because it's informing the program that we have to undertake as well as the projects that we have to undertake. But also important about this is also sharing development experience between civil society organizations in terms of the work that we do on the ground. But also we do this in terms of promoting debate and engagement on development policy, and also in terms of undertaking research and application and aim at providing the basis for the development policy, which is critical also. Our vision is developing a society free from poverty, and our mission is to facilitate development through targeted grant funding, research and strategic partnership. And I think that the importance you can see in terms of the mission, the issue of partnership, which also comes out as part of our view, because we are saying that as NGA, as much as we are a development agency, we need to be working with various partners in terms of addressing the issue of poverty. So for us, it's important the issue of partnership in terms of undertaking this work. Our values are listed there in terms of excellence, dignity, partnering, commitment, and most importantly, empowering, because as you address issues of development, should ensure that there is empowerment embedded in terms of that. We have, during the period under review, we have those goals that are listed there. The first one being promote sustainable development, the second one promote organizational sustainability, development practices and excellence. The third one, promote interface between civil society organizations, research institutions, development practitioners and the state on development issues. And the last one, facilitate research that informs grant funding decisions, procedures and development policies. And as we can see that those goals also were formulated around the issues that have just articulated to in terms of the primary and the secondary mandate. In terms of the overall achievements, in terms of the year under review, with regard to the first goal, which is indicated as promoting sustainable development, what we achieved was that a total amount of 111.1 million was dispersed to 396 approved projects. And also, a total of 77 projects were approved for funding to the value of 95 million. As you can see, in terms of the first bullet, around the 396, this includes the new projects, but also the projects that were approved in the previous year. But the actual projects that were approved during the year under review were 77, is indicated there at the value of 95 million. These projects included 11 food security projects, which amounted to 13.3 million rand, 45 income generating projects with a value of 54.2 million rand, 15 agriculture and agribusiness projects funded to the value of 23.4 million, and 6 networks of NGOs funded what we do, we would work closely with that network of the city so that we find that the network and we extend that network, extending the capacity of individual ECDs that fall within that particular network. And in that way, we have realized that it works very well in terms of ensuring that there is capacity building in terms of those services in the area. In terms of still continuing with the achievements around strategy goal 1, I already stated that with regard to the food security project that is funded, we had 11 food security projects which were funded at the value of 7.3 million. And through this, 3,521 beneficiaries were supported in terms of food security. And this included women, youth, and people with disabilities. And an income generation project, and it initiated the 45 income generation project, and we created through this 1,731 employment opportunities. On targeted agricultural and agribusiness projects, we funded 15 agriculture and agribusiness projects to the value of 23.4 million. And out of that, 1,021 beneficiaries were supported through this, and this number included 442 women, 504 men, 125 beneficiaries from incubation center. This includes 299 youth and 27 people with disabilities. On capacity building, we have nine SAPA aligned training manuals that we developed in specific learning areas relevant to NCA business, but also we had 37 projects approved for funding with capacity building elements. We referred, as I said earlier on, during the year under review, we approved these 37 projects. And each one of these 37 projects, because we regard the capacity building as an important meet during the year under review. We had various media profiles that were done as a result of funded projects profiling those, and this were the profiles in various newspapers, magazines, and also as we go forward. We have said that we need not just look at providing the newspapers and that, but also at a media that is going to be relevant to the issue in the community. Awareness of the MDA is increased in communities as community building initiatives are undertaken through project launches in 5 provinces. Various publications targeting specific stakeholders with produced and distributed extensively, and strategic partnerships were formed with government, business, and civil organizations, elevating the level of engagement. An integrated marketing and communication strategy aimed at improving the image of the organization was revised and approved during the year under review. All vulnerable groups identified and empowered as part of promoting organizational sustainability and development. Disabilities were appointed, and the employment equity plan was approved and submitted to the Department of Labor. We had the occupational health and safety policies and developed, approved and implemented during the year under review. And 15 occupational and health and safety representatives were appointed during the period under review to facilitate the implementation. We had planned to reduce costs to achieve 55% direct project funding and 25% support and administration of SLEED. And we have put this an output to be achieved because we have realized that in terms of our budget, we are spending quite a good amount around the issue of administration. And we took it upon ourselves to ensure that going forward, we reduce the administration so that we can begin to increase the amount in terms of the direct project funding. Unfortunately, we were not able to reach the target that we had aimed to achieve in terms of having 65% allocated to direct project funding and 85% to administration. And we hope that as we move forward, that aspect will be able to move forward. But also, we've updated the cost reduction strategy that is also going to assist us in terms of reducing the cost around specifically on administration. During the year under review, also, we looked at aligning the organizational structure to the strategy, and we conducted a bid process for its director rate, and we mapped and documented the current situation. And out of that, we also look at what is to be a processing that we need to look at. And this process, I can indicate that also going forward is one area that again we're going to look at, especially in terms of ensuring that we align our strategy, our structure to the strategy. On a best practice policies, procedures, and unit strategies, we developed, approved, and also implemented various policies to guide the work that we do as an organization. And some of these policies are listed there, as you can see. Let us go through them, all of them, as you can see. But also, just also as a way of ensuring that we strengthen performance management within the organization, we developed a three-tier performance management system which looks at the organizational scorecard, director scorecard, and employee scorecard, which specifically is looking at ensuring that we align individual performance of employees to the broader organizational performance so that we can be able to monitor the performance in terms of the objectives that we have created today. And all employees have performance contracts during the year under review based on the strategic objectives of the respective directory, and performance employees grants were conducted biannually, and also training and development, especially around the issue of performance management, was done to assist executives in terms of performance management. something that led to that one led. At the end of the funding period, we also conduct what we call impact assessment. And there, that is aimed at saying that we had planned to do this, and the aim was to achieve this and that. Let's see what has been the impact of this project in terms of, if for example, as I indicated that we had an income generating project, look at that, what has been the impact of the project in terms of generating income, which was the key issue in that process. So we do that, and I'm sorry, let me explain those assessments that we do. So during the year under review, we also, as I indicated, did some business that we're going to assess in the impact study. On sector specific studies, we had the national study on the state of ICT on South African NGO sector, which was planned and carried out successfully. And also, as indicated earlier on, with regard to the secondary mandate, that it's important to share experiences. During the period under review, two best practice case studies were produced. And this case study really assists, especially to share practices with civil society organizations. You might find that the same civil society organization is experiencing the challenges in implementing that, for example, in KwaZulu-Natal. And you find that a certain project in Northern Cape has been very successful in doing this. So when we document those best practices, we do that as a way of sharing the best practices so that those success stories can be replicated in other countries. And what has been indicated, the achievements that we've had during this period under review, we have had some challenges that we also experienced. And these challenges, obviously, the bigger challenge is the limited financial resources. There is a constraint around the resources that NGA has if you look at the magnitude of poverty that we need to address
major speech really the direct project funding, which is money paid to projects directly, was 95 million. We also benefited from 12 million rand of projects, all projects that were written back, thereby increasing the amount of money available for funding the projects for that year. And also we spent 3 million rand in direct, what we call direct project costs, which include monitoring, evaluating, capacity building, and so on. The key categories of administration are well elucidated. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go through each one. But the net outcome of our operations in terms of financial performance statement was that we overspent our available resources by 1.2 million. So, meaning that we had a deficit, a small deficit for that year. In terms of the assets to liability, the statement of financial position, as it's called, with regard to assets available, we're talking here current and non-current assets. We had a total of 222 million rand total assets, broken down into current assets, in other words, assets that are liquid, are convertible to cash within 12 months, of 217 million. Non-current assets, which are long-term in nature, of about 5 million. So what it really says here is that we're holding a sizable amount of cash as an organization, and that is consistent with the nature of our business. As a funding and development funding entity, they all have this plan of holding cash because of the turnaround in cash disbursement that the CEO spoke about, that we fund project over an average of 3 year period, and as a result we have to keep the money to see the project to its fruition. We don't have a lot of assets, as I say, in terms of equipment. The 3 million, 4 million rand you see is for office equipment and small IT equipment. The people we owe, liabilities, you will notice straight away that we have a huge liability of 150 million in that total. This is the project that we've accrued in the past year and the previous years, which we are paying through the 216 million cash that you see in the bank. So this is really confirming what I just said, that the cash we hold is committed money. It's not money available for new commitments. It's a very committed big amount available there. That is the summary of the balance sheet. By way of highlights, really, we just noting that our grant for the period 9-10 increased by just 6%, 8.5 million in the 9-10 financial year. We made a bit of interest in that year, amounting to 10.6 million, which is dependent on the interest rate for each year. The past year, we had a huge reduction on the monies collected from interest due to rate going down. The CEO has touched on the split and the breakdown of project funding to say in the past year we approved 77 projects, we did 95. I'm not going to go through that detail, and that main cost. I want to note that there was a reduction of 3%. From the previous year, consistent with the also spoke about the audit outcomes. I will end there. Thank you.
So we want to know these tenants who are taking projects, say, where are they, who are these beneficiaries. That should be in future, we might not have to test them. The other one is on the, I say to follow the CFO, came twice to notify. The acronym, if you don't directly work there, they're shut. Let me just end there. Microwave us, and then you go and expect us to
I'd like to know how many of these 77 projects are economically self-sustainable after training, etc. You know, that you don't just have a project and after the project people go and sit on their scoops again. You know, you must intend to be able to sustain this project. And then while there's training on these projects, who sees to it that the quality of the training providers, that these training providers' quality are in order? I know they must be SAQA accredited. Do you look at this and these type of criteria? I'd just like to know, the Department of Labour has certain criteria. Do you have certain criteria for the training providers on these projects? And then I see on page 22, on the financial report, it says project write-backs of 12.3 million. I would just like to know what is these project write-backs. I have no idea what it is, so I'd just like to be right.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. On the question which Honourable Powell called, in the document, in the top side of that table, there's 3 zeros. If I add that was a confusion for me. So maybe the document is wrong. So the department must just look at that. That is the first thing. But my question is actually on the sustainability of the project. Because one the vision of the department is actually to eradicate poverty in the society. Now, I want to ask the NDA department what is the sustainability of the different projects? And then I believe that we must spend our money. If we spend a million, then they must be some projects who are in such a way successful to maintain and sustain the situation of those communities. The other question, Honourable Chairperson, what data of the civil society organizations are in the books of NDA, especially the profile of the different communities around the different projects and also others who is not actually included now in the administration document of the department. And also in connection with the institutional capacity for the civil society, are there any information about the information of those capacity of the civil society, so that that you can immediately address the situation where there is not sustainable capacity in those organizations. The other one, Honourable Chairperson, the 396 approved projects. Now, and then the second bullet. Give us a brief information about the 77 projects. If I add those money up, the 13.3, the 54.2 million, and the 23.4 million, then I come to a short. My allocation is 94.7 million. So maybe that you can just explain me the situation there. Then about the vacant posts. Are there any vacant posts, especially in the situation of managers in the different provinces? And where and when will that vacant post be filled? My honourable colleague asked the question about the NDA and agriculture. Now my question is more around the relationship between NDA and agriculture. What is the relationship between you and agriculture so that you can be able to address the situation on poverty and that the two departments don't go into the same area and fund? That is the connection with the same situation which my honourable colleague asked. Thank you. and then the capacity building element. How do you use these skills, which actually in the community you are saying those skills now, and how do you make use of those people to help other projects also to carry over those skills from the community side, the society, and not actually when you as department goes into and then carry over those capacities. And the other question, what system do you use? I am actually interested in the sum, the mathematical side of how do you come to the amount. I know there is a 28.8% poverty index in the Eastern Cape. Now my simple calculation is the 20.8% of the allocated amount. That's a simple calculation. But what system do you use to come actually to the amount allocated to the problem? You understand that one? Difficult for me to explain it to you. I can't explain it very better. Then the MOUs signed. Are there any MOU signed in the Western Cape and what group, so that I can follow that up with the Western Cape provincial department, what actually goes around that. And then there's 5 provinces launched. Which other provinces now actually excluded? Then, the 35% of support administration cost split was not achieved. What can you explain? What are the challenges around that? Why did you not achieve that goal? And are there any contracts outstanding, that is, performance contracts between you? Department and official outstanding, which managers or personnel is there any, and when will that be completed? That one we already saw the question.
Thank you.
Will there be an extension round for another chair person? Three more questions. Only 3 more.
Ask them,
thank you very much. Now, the impact performance project visits were done in the preparation for the 2010-2011 impact study. What was the outcome? Can you just give us an explanation about that? And what was the finding, especially around the ICT on South Africa in the health sector? You stated there that you are carried out successfully. What was the time? And then the last one, Honorable Chairperson, when you train the staff of the department on adequate skills and competencies of NDA, are there any losses after you train those staff to other departments? And if they are, what system do you use to prevent so that those people who are actually trained now stay working in the system?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry for the
7 minutes
delay. We just tried to get the mic to allow you to continue. Honorable Master Michael?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. My question
question of
we
basically start by killing the people who are supposed to run those projects. The second question would be, I listened to the presenter when he was indicated. To me, it was like, you know, your intervention. You know, where you talked about the impact assessment, where you will consider the mid-term review. And, you know, my confusion then becomes, did you come up with this strategy after you realized that some of the projects have, you know, they've collapsed on the way? You know, is it a sort of intervention, or it was something that happened with happened before? You know, or it's just an intervention after you realize that the challenges. The first question would be, I'm more interested out of those, because you indicated that you've got projects which are not functioning. How many are those who are not functioning, and what is the intention? How are you intending to assist those projects? The last question is around the able to address the issues that relate to monitoring, there's a need to strengthen internal capacity to address those issues. So the issue of monitoring, it remains an issue that is a challenge. And secondly, the second issue, which remains a challenge, is the issue around the capacity of civil society organizations in terms of enabling them to implement the project. That continues to be a problem. And we cannot say we have reached a level where we can say we are happy that we have addressed the capacity. That continues to be a challenge in terms of capacity. And hence, when I did the presentation, I indicated that for the projects that were approved in the year 9 and 10, which were 77, for each and every one of those projects, there was an amount of money that was allocated to address capacity issues. Because as you fund the project, you put aside that there needs to be an amount that is going to address the capacity of projects. But obviously, you will then assess the capacity and identify what are the challenges, because they differ. The capacity challenges differ from one organization to the other. So also, secondly, the issue of capacity of the society organizations continues to be an issue that is a challenge, and it's an issue that we are working on it to address. And hence, in my presentation, I said that we have started to look at the framework. We have started looking at what are the best ways in terms of building the capacity. I think there was also a question that was raised here to say, do we utilize those people on the ground that have got experience in terms of addressing capacity issues. And the way in which we address capacity issues, as you say, because if you look at even our money, it says you grant funds to other civil society organizations to capacitate civil society organizations. So which means we need to look at those civil society organizations that are building capacity, and then fund those civil society organizations so that in return they capacitate the other civil society organizations. And I also mentioned the issue of networks that we use as part of building capacity. So in terms of those areas, the audit findings, and as we develop even the new strategy, even the strategy that we developed after 9 and 10, and even now, the new strategy going forward, we have identified these two areas. And so the other area that we really need to look at monitoring as well as capacity building, so that we can ensure that the implementation is indeed according to what is planned. There was a question on where are the projects located, the 77 projects? Unfortunately, I think I just give the document to the secretary. I've got the list here, and I'm sure you'll be glad. It indicates exactly where each project is located, in which district, municipality, how much is the project, what is the name of the project. I've got the list here with me. So I'll just send it to the secretary so that he can make copies and give that to you. So it will give you a picture of where these projects are located. In terms of, I've spoken about the issue of capacity building. That is an issue that remains a challenge that we need to address even going forward. And also, this also is linked to the issue of sustainability of projects. Because you also said capacity of building of projects as well as sustainability of projects. This, again, is an area that is important for us to look at and also to ensure. The issue of sustainability, again, is an issue that is important for us, particularly because every fund project, we do not fund forever. Yeah. We assist projects for a certain period. And the assumption is that we need to ensure that beyond our funding, there is sustainability. And that is important for us. And so it's also one area that is important to ensure that we work closely with this project so that even beyond our funding, we can be able to leave this project with other partners, but also they can be able to sustain themselves. So it's a very important aspect, and it's an aspect that in other projects it's still a challenge in terms of ensuring sustainability. Mr. Mukano will deal with the process of applying for grants. We've got two processes, the request for proposal and then the process, but he will just take us through them. There was a question on any programs that are meant for ex-funding. As MCA, we fund civil society organizations. And I'm sure if they would be from a particular community, we would have a group of, you know, ex-convicts that would form a civil society organization to address specific matters. I mean, we would be able to do that, but we do not fund individuals. But I think it's an area that we can look at if they are civil society organizations. And I think this area is important also as we look at also to say when we look at the communities, we need to be able to identify what are the challenges within those communities so that whatever institutions that are created in that not the society organizations are addressing the challenges that affect those communities. So I think if they could form those society organizations, then we could be able to fund them. Mr. Mukano, if you deal with how we involve local municipalities. The question on the 65-35 split not achieved, I think it was asked about three honorable members spoke to that. Maybe the way in which the format of the presentation, because on the left-hand side was the output, what we said we would achieve.
Okay.
And then on the right-hand side, we're saying how far did we do with what we had promised to do. And it's not an achievement, but we were saying, in fact, it's important for us to indicate that we had planned to reduce the cost so that we achieved 65-35 split. However, we did not achieve that, and wanted to put on the table that we did not achieve that output. However, we indicated when the CFO was presenting that although we did not achieve the level of reducing administration to 35%, but during the year under review, at least we managed to reduce the 3% in terms of which was the result of the cost containment strategy that was there. But we did not achieve the 65% that we had planned to achieve. And I think it addresses the questions, the rest questions that were around that. The question on MGA plan to increase the funded project. In terms of that question, first of all, I need to indicate that it's not about, and I think this is what the DG also was trying to address, to say it's not about the number of projects. It's not about the number of projects, but it's about the ability to fund certain areas within a community. And again, understanding that if you have a budget of 160 million rand, you cannot fund everyone. Because that 160 million cannot even begin to cover everything that relates to addressing poverty issues. So it's not just about increasing the amount, the number. But I think the important question is to say, to what extent going forward, NDA, can you be able to say this is the impact that we have made in terms of the, you know, our funds. And I think it's an important aspect. numbers. We are going to increase the numbers. Because it's not about just increasing the numbers. There was a question that was saying performance bonuses of staff who received that. Ms. Issa will address that question. And Mr. Mukhano will deal with the quality of training. Coming to the issue of project right back, there was a question, what are these right backs? And the 12 million kind of right back. I indicated earlier on that we fund projects. And when we fund a project, let's take a particular project is funded for 6 million rand. Generate in the project in Northern Cape, and that is fine. Let's say 6 million rand over a period of 3 years. And then the project starts halfway through when the cucumbers and you know they are linked to the market, they are doing very well, they are selling the cucumbers to the market, they are generating income, it's now it's going very well, that project, I'm making an example with that one. Then the project members, they start fighting. They start fighting now because of the income, they lack of trust amongst each other, they feel you know, someone is mismanaging funds, they feel they are not getting, they are not of a fact. We intervene in terms of that as we do the monitoring when we pick up those deals. But sometimes you find that the conflict become so worse to the extent that, and I think there was a project, but this is for Mr. Mukhano where almost they killed each other. Limpopo. So sometimes we find that no matter what intervention we put in to address those challenges, the situation doesn't change. Or we find that money has been misappropriated, the project cannot really show what they did with money. So what you would do, remember that when we transfer funds, we transfer in tranches. Let's say it was, as I said, 6 million rand, maybe the first tranche was supposed to be 2 million, the second tranche 2 million, the third tranche 2 million. So we have transferred the first million, or maybe we have even transferred the second tranche, which is the second 2 million, which is 4 million rand. And then the challenges start coming up before we transfer the last tranche, the last 2 million rand. No matter what intervention we put in place, we do not solve the problem. So it begins to say there are instances then where you decide that we cannot continue. We cannot give this project money when they have these challenges, they have misappropriated money, they exist. And therefore, that's where you say we discontinue the project and we got it a right back. We do have a policy, however, that says for us to get to a stage where we write back a project or we discontinue a project, we need these things should have happened. It guides us, the policy, in terms of that. And therefore, you would find that you have transferred 4 million rand. There is still 2 million rand, which the CFO indicated that 2 million rand is in our fund because it's waiting for this project. So because this project we have discontinued, then we take that 2 million rand, we reallocate it to another project. So it means in essence, we have received a 2 million rand, which we did not have, which was supposed to be money for another project. Yes, and we give it to another project. So hence, during this year under review, we had 12 million rand that came out of the deputy chair of the board is responding to me, and I see the minister is looking at me because the minister has told us that she doesn't want to hear anything about the project being discussed. So we must do our utmost to ensure that we assist those projects so that we do not not write them back. The data of civil societies in our book, probably one will deal with that, and also the issue of capacity. You address all those issues, Mukhano. Any vacant post of provincial managers, we have only one vacant post at the moment. It's the provincial manager of Eastern Cape. The Mpumalanga one was filled, and we the process is at an advanced stage. We hope that by the beginning of the financial year, that's April, we will have the new provincial manager in the same. So there are no other vacant posts as provincial manager level, and as you indicated, Honorable Chair, the post of the company secretary was filled, and the CFO was filled, and the new CEO was filled. on the issue of Mr. Mukhano will deal with how do we allocate the approval of projects, how do we allocate funds to different provinces. Any signed MOUs in the Western case and with whom? I don't remember any signed MOUs for the period 9 and 10. There was nothing for the period 9 and 10. There were no signed MOUs in the Western Cape. I've already addressed the issue of the 55, but also just to indicate the challenges for not achieving that was the fact that we could not even reduce, as you were indicating that, I think it was honorable member to say, we are showing that the personnel costs increased. So those were among the reasons why we could not reduce, because in other instances, we had to increase the personnel costs. So we could not reduce the administrative costs. Impact studies, Prof, you deal with that? Let me just stop there and allow my colleague to deal with that. Mr. Mukhano will deal with issues that relate to grant funding and capacity building that have not addressed, and Prof will deal with the impact studies as well as agriculture versus agribusiness, as well as the database of civil society organizations. Let me stop there. I will come in once they have the answer. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm only responding to five questions. The first question is, what is the process of applying for funds at the NDU?
that is what is. If there is any other credible scientific formula that can be proposed in terms of resource allocation, we will welcome that dialogue. But for now, this is what we are dealing with until a new formula is acceptable by the country. Thank you, Chair.
Reports that we have to do for government and for the ministry and
one of the most important things is that there should be a human capital development that is done in projects. And we need to ensure that the little resources we have at least leave people in the area with skills. Because if we leave people with skills, they will use those skills continuously. Even if we are not there, even if their project cannot move further, they will have the capacity of redirecting their energy because they have skills. So it's important for us to ensure that education is prioritized in projects, and also try and look at social cohesion programs. We've also raised that in a number of times with NDA. Look at the issues of violence against women, because that process has something to do with social cohesion. Mm-hmm. Also issues of early childhood development. Because if you deal with ECD, one, you help women to go and look for work, mm-hmm. or to focus on other things. But secondly, you help the government in its priority of education and fighting poverty. Because if a children start from early childhood development, though it's long term, at the end of the development at school level of the child, you have taken a family out of the cycle of poverty. So I think those are the issues that we need to look into. And also on the issue of ex-offenders, social development is with the integration of ex-offenders into the society. And there are probation officers and social workers that work specifically with ex-offenders. And provincial departments have a working relationship with organizations such as NICO, which are specialists in working in this field. And then NDA, I think we have said that NDA must have a reach, because we can't be all over. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to be all over, we won't be able to have an impact. But also, Chair, I thought you touched on the issue of migration, because I think it's one of his pet subjects. I think we all know that people migrate to richer provinces. And Gauteng is a net receiver of migration, particularly from all poor people. So the percentage of poor people will increase in Gauteng. And what is said is that these people are located at the periphery of Gauteng. And that is why we find out that there is squalor where they stay, there is poverty, and during the floods, for example, they were highly affected by floods. And we find out that some have stayed there for more than 5 years without a job. So it's important for us to try and ensure that we work with all the provinces and we deal with all the areas where there was poverty. But also we must understand that previously migration was blocked. And now people feel free to go where they want, because previously they were put in so-called reserve. So now there is a freedom of movement. And so much as there is a program of developing towns, in development in its nature, safe people look for cleaner pastures. So we're still going to experience young people, even if they are developed in the rural areas, even if there are more opportunities, even if they are rural towns, that would mean that they are developed at an equal basis. project that comes out of that. It depends on one project, you know, what is the difference between one project and the other. Did I miss out any other questions? Outstanding, any performance contract outstanding. For the year under review, as I indicated, there were no performance contracts that were outstanding. And there was a question on impact studies, what were the results of this. We conducted not just one impact study. If you would want us to send you information with regard to the outcome of those impact studies, we can send you the information. We do have the information. I think we have covered one of the questions now.
Honorable member, the questions have been covered. Now I'm going to open. Now I'm just going to give you honorable members please. Let's check time. We have only no longer 5 minutes now. But I'm going to allow the three names that I have seen. I've seen Raito, I've seen Nube, I've seen Mel Makadi. Honorable to be that you're fine now.
I'm fine.
Thank you. In that order, honorable members.
I don't have a question, Chairperson, up on the comments that I wanted to bring to the attention of NDA. You know, when we are worried about the monitoring and evaluation and your study tour that you do a study tour in this context around the country, we have an experience in other departments that people are giving email reports you as the national government, as whereby on the ground there is nothing that is happening. So last, if you can go down to the ground as this national department, see if these things are happening really.
Thank you.
I will check up from the head of the minister trying to explain the culture and the migration. However, I've got two contradictory information. One is you are using the poverty indicators, and they are saying you are using the population. If you are using the population, I'm still correct. And how then we'll turn board right again. Thank you.
Can you see before we continue?
How do you accommodate those ones who are starting, because the users who have